This is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. Today, we are joined by Aaron Meyer from the Nevada Department of Wildlife. He's going to give us some tips on how to get our boats stored for the winter, steps we need to take before we do that, and also he's going to talk about the boating education course that's available online at endow.org.
Right. As much as I hate for everybody to get off the water, it's probably a safe bet that now is the time to bring the boat in and get it ready for next year. And the checklist is actually funny because it sounds like things that you would do when you're getting ready to take it back out on the water, but it's actually stuff you need to get done now or you're going to have issues when the spring rolls around. Okay. One of the ones people don't think about, and that is the fuel, is that if you have fuel in there, which you should, you're going to need to add a fuel additive and then a little more fresh fuel and then run that engine for a few minutes because fuel evaporates without the additive in there. And so if you just put your boat up, that fuel is going to evaporate and it's going to leave like a gunky residue, and that's going to clog up your whole engine. So you have to add this fuel additive and run it for a few minutes so it gets all through your system. Nobody thinks about it, and then, you know, when you're getting ready to head out on the spring and your boat's all junked up and you have to go take it somewhere to get fixed, you're going to be very frustrated. So you'll get it pretty quick, too, because if you don't add the fuel additive and there's a few months of just your fuel evaporating, then when you start to run your engine, you're going to push all that gunk all through your motor, and you're just going to have all kinds of issues. Obviously, the most important thing is because it's winter, you're going to want to get all the water out of that boat. So anywhere where water might have flowed, the engine, the plumbing lines, the heating cooling system, you're going to need to get all of that water out and then replace the water in the cooling system with an antifreeze solution. Because if you have water in the bilge, if you have water anywhere in your boat, obviously it makes sense. It's about to be winter. All of that's going to freeze and it's going to crack and break all sorts of stuff. It'll tear that engine apart. There's pretty much nothing ice won't break. So that's why it's very important to get that water out of the boat. The other thing is, and this is the one that I'm saying sounds awkward, but you're going to need to go over your entire engine and check for cracks and check for any sort of wear and tear, and then replace those tubes and check for any wear and tear, any cracked tubes or hoses or anything, and you're going to need to replace all of that. You can't leave that over the winter because it's just going to get worse, and you want that boat to be ready to go when the spring rolls around. You're going to want to replace all the filters. You're going to want to replace the oil. Like, you see what I mean? It sounds like these are things that you would do heading into spring, but these are things you need to do heading into the winter so that your boat is ready to go, for sure. Where you have to have a cover, and what I would do is remove everything from the boat that you can. So if the cushions come off, take those in the garage. Whatever you can, all your life jackets, take them out of their, you know, little cubbies, put them in the garage. Anything you can get off of that boat and put in the garage, do so. Also, disconnect your battery, put that in the garage, because it's just going to drain it. It's just going to drain it sitting out there in the elements, not being used. And the other thing about that cover is, once you've done everything you need to do and you have that cover on, your job's not done, because periodically over the winter, you're going to need to go out there and check your boat, because maybe the cover, you know, came off on one of the corners, or even worse, an animal's decided to make a little winter home inside your boat. So you need to occasionally go out there and double check that everything's still good. And anything's possible. That's the checklist.
We're talking with Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife about storing your boat for the winter. And you can also take that boating education course while it's wintertime. It's a great time to sit down with your kids, especially if they just turned 12 like yours did, and take the course while it's cold and you're inside anyway, right?
That's exactly correct. Everybody, they don't think about taking their boating education class until it's boating season, but wouldn't it make more sense when you have time and you're stuck indoors to take that class so when boating season rolls around, you already have your card ready to go? My 12-year-old, yes, but my 12-year-old, I have sat down. But it's funny because you learned quite a bit too, because you know, even though I took the class, obviously there were things I had forgotten, and so as we're going over it together, stuff would come up and I go, oh, you know what that is? Because, you know, a lot of the stuff he's just memorizing just so he can pass the test, but I can tell him why we do it that way. And it was kind of cool. Like, it wasn't just homework for him. It was time spent with his dad, and I think he really enjoyed it.
We're talking with Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife about putting your boat away for the year and getting that boating education course taken care of before next year. You know, there's that bonding thing where you guys may be out on the boat next time, and he may say, oh, hey, Dad, don't you remember this from the boating course?
either that or I'll forget something and he'll call me out on it, which seems to be, he's heading towards the teenage years. And so any chance he has to know a little bit more than me, he's going to take it.
What are some of the interesting things that we might not know about that we'll learn in this course?
The right of way is a big one. As far as like if you're heading towards a boat and you need to pass on the right, or size of boat, or you know, powered versus unpowered, like all sorts of little things that you just never, because you think that when you're out there boating, it's you on the water and there's nothing around you. But then you find out there's all sorts of other boats and there's rules that go with those boats. And he seemed to be pretty excited about that.
Do you guys own watercraft yourself?
We don't. We rent when we go out.
So he had a chance to apply that knowledge that you guys learned on the website?
No, he just turned 12. Okay. So mom is a very careful person. So it may take some convincing, even with his boating ed card, to let him take control. But maybe we'll go on a trip where mom doesn't know.
Or you guys can always take my paddle boat out and he can man that.
There you go.
All right, Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. Go ahead and, before we let you go, run down that checklist we just went over in kind of a summarized way to let people know what they need to do with their boats before they put them away for the winter.
Yeah, the quick and easy version is drain all the water from everywhere so it doesn't freeze and wreck your boat. Add a fuel additive to your engine so that when as the winter goes on, your fuel doesn't evaporate and screw everything up. Replace all the filters, replace the oil, check the engine thoroughly, the hoses and the tubes, make sure nothing's cracked. Do a quick run around on your boat, make sure there's not any damage there, and then just store it properly. Get a cover on that, get all the stuff that you can inside the garage and just store it properly, and then make sure you randomly check it throughout the winter.
And the whole point of all of this is to make sure that when spring rolls around next year, you can get out on the water without a lot of heartache, right?
If you do it right now, then when the spring rolls around, it's going to take you very little time to get your boat ready to go, and then you'll be out on the water sooner than later, which is the point. The second we're able to get outside and get back on the water, we want to do it quick.
Take that boating education course. It only takes a little while, and do it with your kid. It's fun, right?
It is fun.
And where can people learn more? Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife.
Go to our website at ndow.org. There's a whole section on boating that's got everything you need.
You've been a dream, and we always appreciate all this great timely advice that you give to people about boating and paddleboarding and kayaking safely. And that course is something that is invaluable, and it's free, right?
There is a free option. There's actually a couple of free options. Some of the other courses cost money, but I have to be honest with you, the ones that cost money, they're a little more fun to take. They're interactive online courses that kids seem to really get into a little more. But there are free versions, so it doesn't have to cost money.
Do they get like a special certificate at the end of this course?
There's a certificate that you can print out, but we will send you a hard copy card that will go in your wallet.
Aaron Meyer, thank you so much for this conversation. And any other timely advice you want to give people who are putting their boats up or maybe considering a boat for next spring?
The only other thing I can think of, which is another one of those tips that don't make sense on the surface, is you might want to consider, when you get your boat out, giving it one last wash and wax. Like, just get all the stuff from the summer off your boat and clean it and wax it so that when you put it away, you know, it's really ready to go. If you go through it and there's vegetation or whatever, you should get that off anyway. Well, and if your boat's all washed and waxed when the spring rolls around, you're ready to go.
Don't forget, you can find that boating education course at ndow.org and take it while it's cold out with your kids. And that way they can drive the boat if they're 12 and older next summer, and you can kick back and water ski. Enjoy the sights. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Look.
The news and talk of Nevada. This is Nevada Outlook on News Talk 780 KOH.
I'm Jim Fannin. Thanks for being with us on Nevada Outlook. We're talking about military careers, particularly Careers for military members and their families after service, really during service as well. And there are some challenges. Thanks for being with us on Nevada Outlook. Joining us on the program today, Amy Dotson with Hire Heroes USA and Matthew Veen of Navy Federal Credit Union. You have been talking with veterans nationwide about their goals and what they value most in a career, and you've come up with 10 industries that match up well with both military members transitioning out of the service and military spouses. Can we talk a little bit about the challenges of being a military spouse and staying employed, being employed, having a career? It's not that easy, is it?
It is not. We've conducted more than 2,000 online interviews with military spouses, both within Navy Federal's current membership and the general population. We've partnered with Hire Heroes USA to analyze that data, and we've come up with a resource for military spouses. Topping our list are careers in government and public administration, business support and human resources, healthcare and social assistance, educational services, and information technology. It is important to note that to provide resources like this for military spouses, because today, according to our research, 13% of military spouses are unemployed and 43% of military spouses are underemployed.
Yeah, that's a consequence of a lot of moving around, isn't it? And other things that are related to military service that is a little different from, you know, most of the rest of us that park in a place for 20 years or so.
Absolutely. You know, as a proud military spouse myself and seeing firsthand the impact of the military lifestyle, I know there are a few key areas that make a career great for a military spouse. Our research validated those areas, which include providing flexible hours and schedules, competitive compensation, clear career advancement paths, working in a team-oriented environment, and lastly, flexibility in child care options.
And I would say that's probably a reason healthcare, public administration, and IT or financial services might be the right things for a military spouse. Right, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it covers those top factors of flexibility, portability, competitive compensation, and the career track, right, that Matt spoke to. You know, I think that's what makes those a great fit for military spouses. And so I encourage spouses to kind of look into the employers and industries that do support that lifestyle and share those values of what military spouses are looking for that support that experience. And that's a great way to sort of build employers for you to look into to possibly be employed with.
And let's talk about why this is the right kind of project for Navy Federal Credit Union, too.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, our name speaks for itself. And so for the longest time, we've always been helping both military spouses and veterans find careers and job placement after service. But more so today, it's just that underemployment rate is so high right now. It's a national attention grabber for us and many other organizations.
How do we get, you know, the education to match up with some of these desires?
Some tips I would give military spouses is surrounding yourself with people that are in those industries that you're interested in. Make those connections through volunteer work, mentorship, professional associations. You can build your network on sites like LinkedIn. Informational interviews, that's a great way to kind of immerse yourself in those industries and see if they're the right fit for you. And then also tapping into resources that are specifically designed to support the military spouse. At Hire Heroes USA, we provide, we have a Serving Spouses program, and the team is made up of military spouses, so they know firsthand what those challenges and barriers can be. We can support with resume reviews, LinkedIn support, interview prep on how to address those frequent relocations that you spoke to, and employment gaps. And we do have some industry-specific volunteers that can help in that capacity as well. And our services are of no cost to our military spouses.
And we are talking with Amy Dotson with Hire Heroes USA and Matthew Veen, Navy Federal Credit Union. We're talking about careers for folks after the military, including careers that are right for family members and spouses of military veterans. You know, there's a couple of common themes, careers that people get into after the military. One of them is law enforcement, and the other thing is the postal service. It seems like almost everyone I meet that works for the Postal Service has some kind of a connection to the military or is a veteran.
Yeah, I think that's a natural move to in law enforcement, especially if people are in sort of a combat arms MOS, you know, that's a good transition. And then any federal, as you can see on the list, government public administration is number one on the list, and it makes a lot of sense for veterans to go from one federal entity to another. It's comfortable. There's benefits as far as retirement and things like that go. So I think that's very natural for our veterans to move into those industries.
I know you guys also looked into the best places to live or best cities after service. Can you talk a little bit about what makes a city great for someone who's former military?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the key is, you know, look at location of military bases, which is number one. And, you know, that's how Navy Federal kind of implants our branch network, is close to that network. And then secondly, too, is just looking at the increasing of tech and remote work. And then same thing with government and public administration. When you take a look at, you know, our top list, you can totally see that the top five, six careers are in those growing cities.
Let's talk a little bit about where you guys can provide people with some help. I mean, at Navy Federal, you've got the Transition to Civilian Life Kit and other things like that. Talk about some of these things.
So for the full Best Careers for Military Spouses report, please visit NavyFederal.org/military-spouse. To learn more about the career assistance that Hire Heroes USA provides, please check them out at hireheroesusa.org. And just lastly, Amy said some wonderful things. There's some great tools such as LinkedIn to really be that social impact forum for military spouses to help advance their career and earn that next step.
Amy, other veterans and other members of the service, they do provide a pretty strong support system for fellow members of the service. And Hiring Heroes is probably a huge part of that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we not only do we provide our services to military and veteran spouses, we do provide services to active duty military, transitioning service members, reserve, guard, and then veterans of the military.
All right. Anything you guys want to add to kind of wrap this all up and get our heads around these issues?
I would add that, you know, this is a very much of an important topic and discussion, not only today, but many companies are addressing this because this is a very, very important and critical topic in our economy today with military spouse unemployment.
And it's important to say that, you know, people who have been with the discipline and the sacrifice that is involved in being in the military and have had successful military careers, these are great people to hire.
They are.
Absolutely. As our military spouses, you know, they learn, military spouses learn resiliency, problem solving, juggling multiple things. Me personally, you know, my husband did 6 deployments while he was active duty, and I had to juggle kids and work and after school programs and things like that. And those are very great skills, transferable skills that you can take into a career.
Thank you so much for being with us. Everybody needs to check out Hiring Heroes USA and the resources offered by Navy Federal Credit Union as you try to make this transition. We really appreciate you talking about these topics with us, and I hope we can do it again.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we've been talking with Amy Dodson with Hire Heroes USA and Matthew Veen of Navy Federal Credit Union about careers after the military. I'm Jim Fannin. Thank you for being with us on Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.